Welcome to House of Bread Podcast. This is Pastor Jonathan Hansen speaking at Abundant Life Church.
I'm going to start a message series today, and it's called Unstuck. So anybody feel like they're stuck in something? And I want to start, it's going to be the next three Sundays, I'm going to do a message called Unstuck, and I'm going to start today with that. First of all, I want to say that God's people were stuck until Jesus came along. They were stuck in this thing called the law. And Jesus came and fulfilled every single law and died so that we could live in grace, arose so that we can live in grace, died so we could fulfill the law, and rose so we can live in grace. And grace is the empowerment from Him to do all things through Christ, to do all things, period, through Him who strengthens you. Grace is this overwhelming... You ever hear anybody say, you must have a grace to do that, which is probably a Christian term, I get it, it's a Christian slogan, but grace is really an unmerited favor on your life to do something, a favor that just makes no sense. It's favor that, why is it that when you do this, you come alive, people come alive around you, they're drawn to you? That's what grace is, and God has a specific grace for each one of us. And the enemy's goal is to get you to not see that grace, period. He wants you to be blind to it. So something I've been noticing lately is he likes to wound you in an area that is your grace so that you'll avoid that area. And I'll give you a good example. If you're called to help make Christians look like Christians are supposed to, you probably got hurt by a Christian so that you will avoid Christians with all your heart. Because that area hurts too bad to go. So therefore, you're never going to find out who you really are because you got hurt in that area, so you're not going to go that way. I'm telling you, most of the time I see your place of favor has a pet peeve attached to it. And you usually don't find your place of favor because you won't go where your pet peeve is because that's your pet peeve and I'm not going to go there. True, come on, you know I'm right. So that's the enemy's goal. So to me, that was a pretty bold move of the enemy because to me, it's like... Well, now it's obvious. You're an idiot. You just showed me exactly where to focus my attention. So if he's hurting you in some area, if there's a pain that's some attention that's trying to happen, look to that area. Because he's trying to get you to not look there. And to me, I'm like, okay, you just blew your cover. You made it really obvious that's where I want to go. That's how I view it. So if I see people struggling with this their lifelong struggle, I say, no worries, because that's the area you're supposed to beat it in. That's the area you're supposed to bring life in. So, all right, so I'm going to start my sermon. We're going to show some pictures. I think, anyways. Of things who are stuck. I don't know what kind of car is that. It looks like a Porsche, but I think it's different. But it's a Porsche. It's stuck. That's stuck. Who feels like that? You can keep going. You can go to the next one. That's pretty bad. That's a whole new definition of surfing. Jeeps are made to hold the surfboards, not be the surfboard. Aww. I have no idea how that happened. That doesn't even look possible. If you actually be quite surprised at how many of those you find. And there's one more. So that's what we look like when we're stuck. And actually, if you Google stuck children, you'll find that's like most common thing. They're stuck in vending machines. I don't know how they get in there, but they climb up the exit hole or whatever. See how big the teddy bears are? I guess they have to have a big enough opening for the teddy bears to come out, so they get in there somehow. I'm not sure. Unless there's a vending machine guy with keys just being funny and doing it all over the place. But so I'm going to share with you a dream I had. This is going to be me being pretty vulnerable and open. I had a dream about this church, and it was full, like really big. It was twice the size at least. The stage was about 8 feet tall. I'm not going to share all the details of the dream because it'll get too long. But in this dream, I'm in the back room where the parenting room is back in the corner there, and... it was not a parenting room, it was a prayer room, and I'm back there, and there's these guys back there that are just praying, and I'm feeling like I'm fully dressed, but I'm feeling like I'm getting dressed. I feel like I'm getting ready. I'm getting pumped up, and like, whoever these guys are doing, this is awesome. I feel ready. I feel, and I get out here, and this place is absolutely packed. And I know my dad's here, and there's these. It jumps ahead, like we're in the middle of the service, and it was the week after Yvonne died, I had this dream. And it was the service that we were going to do, the first service after Yvonne had passed away, and I was going to really celebrate Yvonne. And I remember thinking how important it was for the atmosphere of the room to be celebration of her life. And that was the same feel I was getting when in this dream. And there was two cordless mics going around with two guys. Now, in the dream, I knew both guys, but after I woke up, God won't let me remember one of the guys. I don't know who it is. One of the guys I remember, and what he means to me, is someone who has a lot of influence. He's moved in miracles. He's had tons of things happen, crazy things like people getting gold teeth and gold falling from just weird things that don't make any sense. He said they'll do signs and wonders. You know, sometimes signs do make you wonder. Like, why did he do that? Pastor Phil has a gold tooth in his mouth that nobody can explain. That it just two of them that just happened, that God did. What makes sense of that? It doesn't make any sense, except for that he just likes us. You're not supposed to make sense of it. But anyways, so this guy represents that. He kind of controls and manipulates and gets a lot of attention because of these gifts. So this, I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to do that, but that's what he represented to me. So, but I'm not bothered by it at all. I feel so confident, and I know that God's going to bring the church to a level, and I don't care what's trying to destroy. I have no, at all whatsoever, no hesitation of what God is going to do. I feel so confident and so bold what God is about to do for everyone. It has nothing to do with me, but it did. And I get up there on the top of the stage, and as soon as I open my mouth, the church erupts. And I was just like, wow, this is cool. And when I got up here to lead worship, oh, jeez. I remember thinking, you know, I like that feeling so much. This reality kind of stinks. I want to feel that way. And it goes with that Lamborghini Pinto thing I tell you about all the time. God said, I want you to be the pastor of this church. And I said, well, I feel like a Pinto. To me, that's like the worst car on the planet. If you own one, I'm sorry. And then when I was a kid, my favorite car was the Lamborghini. And God said, I've called you to be a Lamborghini and nothing else matters. So shut up. That's what he told me. He said, anything you say, anything anybody else thinks, I don't care what kind of smoke's coming out your, you know what? You are who you are. You are who I say you are, not who you think you are, not what kind of noise you're making, not kind of clunking you're making, not what kind of the fallible things that I would look at in my own life. That doesn't matter. What he says I am matters. So that's what this dream represented, a level of confidence I've never seen before. And ever since then, I've had things come up that have tried to stop me from being confident. So I'm sharing this with you because there's levels in your life. I guarantee you, if you're a part of Abundant Life especially, I bet you're feeling some things that are trying to attack the core issues that help you to not see who you are. Now, people have been having dreams. I've had tons of people come to me with dreams lately of things that are trying to attack them. And the enemy, that's what the enemy does, is he tries to get you to not, he doesn't want you to see who you really are. So today, I have faith to know that you're going to get a glimpse of who you really are today. Because Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Now, he might give you a word picture like he did me, a Lamborghini versus a Pinto. He might give you something else, like a dream like I had. He might give you, someone might come along and say, you're a treasure. Someone might, it doesn't matter. Something God is going to show you that how valuable you are. Be open for that, because the enemy's trying to throw other stuff at you to make you recognize those things. And I'm going to use an example. First thing, I believe with all my heart that God is in the business of shaking things that can be shaken. Matter of fact, it's a promise. In Hebrews 12, he promises that anything that can be shaken, the heavens and earth will shake. And there are things that can be shaken, will be shaken. And the things that can't, won't be shaken. Because you're standing on solid foundation. So if you want to look that up, it's in Hebrews 12, verses 26 through 28. But God promised it. And I kind of like it. Because we're entering in a new season of confidence that's not confidence in what you know. It's not in past experience or what the doctors say. Or your education. Or how you see yourself in the mirror. It's actually the opposite of everything you see with your natural eyes. We're entering confidence. It's not about who you are. It's about who he is. I'm confident not because of me. I'm confident because I know he's with me. And I'm not arrogant and confident. I'm confident because I know he's with me. When trouble comes knocking on my door, this is what my dad says. When trouble comes knocking on my door, I look at him and go, aren't I glad you're with me? Because I look what just knocked at our door. It's not my responsibility. That's our responsibility. There's something that's happening that the enemy's trying to take away your confidence. And if anybody else feels like that, this is for you. And it's not just confidence. It's about value as well. Bob Nichols did a message called Destroying the Imposter, or I don't know, Delivering the Imposter. Something about getting rid of your imposter. Dealing with your imposter. Yeah, there you go. Em would know. She's probably seen the title 100 times already. And he said there's two fears we all have inside. Fear of rejection and fear of failure. Those two fears attach, for some reason our identity attaches to those two fears. We attach those things to our lives and we let things tell us that we're a failure. We let things tell us that we're going to fail. And I want to tell you that God says the opposite. He wouldn't have left you here on the earth if he thought you were going to fail. Because he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yep. So he wouldn't have left you here if he thought you were a failure. He trusts you. It's a pretty big deal, huh? Okay. So, I got a question. Why is it that when we see people have an encounter with God, we see people get healed, we see people have just infatuated, and they just get in love with God, and they break down crying or whatever. There's something that happens, yet they stay the same. What is it with that? That's what we're going to dig in today. It's a choice, yes. I've seen people, God speak to them a promise. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God speak through you as a person, and then you still disvalue who you are. I've seen God heal people through you, and you still sometimes go, hey, who am I? Interesting. So how can God use somebody who struggles with identity and finding out who we are? I still see people stuck in a rut, seemingly unaffected by Father God's touch. So I'm asking why. This is why I've been digging into this. So we're going to look at John the Baptist in the Bible. This is a great story. Because John the Baptist could not let go of where he was and what he was doing after he had a close personal encounter with Jesus Christ. So we're going to go there. We're going to go to... It's in Matthew 11, verses 2. Now, I'm going to, before we go, you guys can, while you're looking, while you're going there, I'm going to go to, there's a scripture in Luke that says, Luke 4, verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," this is Jesus talking, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me," this is Jesus talking. "He has sent me to proclaim and release captives and to recover the sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." So Jesus came to set prisoners free. He also came to make blind men see. He came to help us be confident in times where we don't feel confident. He came to help us see who we really are, not who we think we see ourselves as. So in Matthew, this is talking about John. "Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?'" So at this time, when John is saying this, he had already baptized Jesus and the Holy Spirit fell on him, and he had no doubt who he was then, but he's doubting now because he's in prison. Interesting. Come on. Remember, we're talking about being stuck. Getting unstuck. All right, so Jesus answered and said to him, "Go and report to John. What do you hear and see? The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who does not take offense to me." So Jesus is asking, what do you hear? What do you see, John? Because all John can think of is the one part of that scripture that pertains to him. I'm in prison and I'm not set free yet. So he's in prison and he's like, how come I'm not set free? If you're really the Christ, how come I'm not set free? And then Jesus later, I'm not going to go into all the scriptures, but later if you go down verse 7, he asks, who do you are? What do you, or let's see, what is Jesus asking? What do you see? What do you go out in the wilderness and see? So he said, do you see a reed shaken by the wind? Do you see a man dressed in soft clothing? A prophet? Yes, he says. Truly I say to you, this is interesting, among those born of a woman there is none arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. So when John is doubting himself the most, This is when Jesus said, there is none greater than John the Baptist. So, Jesus wasn't saying that just to prove a point to everyone. He was more saying that for John the Baptist than anything else. There is none greater than you, John the Baptist. Born from a mother, there is none greater than you. And he saw, I just think it's interesting that he had one point in his life where he had no doubt at all. He did not seem to doubt to me at all when Jesus showed up and said, this is the one who I've been talking about. This is the one I was called to point out that this is the Son of God. And he had no doubts at that point. But when he's imprisoned, you start doubting. So when you're stuck in a rut, when you can't get a job, when you can't get the relationship when you want, you can't keep the job you want, you can't go down the list, you can't fill in the blanks. All in that place, it's really hard to see what God said or how you've had an encounter with him. And that's what the enemy's intentions are. So what did Jesus do? He pointed him. He kind of asked these questions. And I got this part from Bill Johnson from California in Reading. He says, what do you hear? He's asking him, what do you hear? What do you see? And what do you remember? He got him to remember what it was that he had done. And a lot of times we can't see things and we can't hear things clearly in the moment. But a lot of times you can go back to what you remember God did do. And if you can't remember anything God did for you, start to think about some people you care about. What did God do for them? Because you need to start somewhere. You need to go back and get your faith attached to something. Because there's always going to be a time in your life that tests you to make it so that you feel like God's not real. And there's no shame in that. Just go back to what you remember. Because the enemy is going to try to get you to focus on other things that are not true. He's going to make you look at the fact that you're stuck. So in this dream of me feeling confident, when I got up here and I just had a bunch of things. I'm just going to share the things that have happened. So I've had this I struggled because I watched my dad suffer with, I shared this last week, about poverty stuff. I watched my dad work hard and my mom give up tons and tons and tons of things and give up their life and give and give and give to people. And I've watched them not, in my opinion, become successful in what I think if you give, you get, right? That's kind of a philosophy you learn, especially in business world. They teach you, they actually teach you giving, you get returned. So you're looking for, you draw what you are. You all these kind of things. I'm like, okay, this doesn't make any sense to me. Why do I have this disconnect? And I realized that his giving was making it so that I could get from, or my kids could get from that. Because in the Bible it says, I'll visit the iniquities of your children and your children's children. So sometimes it takes 3-4 generations to beat the iniquities of a family line. So if poverty's been in my family line, which it has been, sometimes it takes a while. And someone's got to be the first, which I said was the first fruit, to live as if it's not taking hold in your life. You got to remember that the enemy's after something. He's after your soul. So if you think you lose something, and I'll share it again because Yvonne is the best example I can think of. Yvonne Kornmesser passed away a couple weeks ago from cancer. And she's had her mom died from cancer, her sister died from cancer. And it looks like a generational thing. It looks like something that can't be beaten. And Casey came to me and goes, I don't want my sisters to die, and I don't want my daughter to die from cancer. And God asked me to forgive this person, and he's working on stirring up the ability to forgive this person. And I said, well, Casey, I said, did your mom, what's the enemy after? He's after your soul. How does your mom do in that area? She did awesome. She kicks cancer's butt. But the cancer didn't have no, maybe it took her life, but it did not take her soul. By any means, she was at faith. So she was a first fruit. She lived as if it had no effect on her. So we should be living as things don't have effect on us. And that's called living for the generations after you. If we're living for ourselves, we want that to happen for us now. We want, that's my daughter, London. I know that cry. We're living for her. So if I live my life saying, if the center of the universe, like my dad says, is us, we got a problem. Because I'm doing everything so I can get. Not true. If the center of the universe is God, I live my life so that all me, everybody around me, and my generations beyond me get everything that God has for them. It has nothing to do with about me getting what I want. That's called living for the generations. So that's what God's trying to get us to do. And if we can get stuck in just looking at our life and where we're not measuring up, we've already lost the battle because we're focusing on where we're stuck instead of living where we are. That's why I love this treasure hunt stuff so well, because it does something to me personally. It empties me out of what God has. And it just you just get filled up more. We're not supposed to be just... I'm sorry, I know I'm preaching to a church crowd, but you're not supposed to really come to church just to fill up.
That's right.
Church is giving. Church is living out. Now, I'm okay with you coming to fill up. I want that. But I want you to fill up so you can give out. Right? So church should be all the time. It's a community of people born to love people the way Jesus came to love us. That's what it's about. That's why I love treasure hunts, because it empties me out of giving. I'm giving and it fills me up so much faster than I can give out. It happens. So in my dream, the second thing that's happened, Bob Nichols is in trouble because he gave me a few phrases that just really kind of got me thinking. And he said this phrase. He said that wherever you have a judgment, there's a wound. And I've heard him say that, but it never sunk this way. So now the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks, I've been looking at all the areas I judge people. I judge Christians for. I judge the church for. I judge fill in the blank. Who do you judge? Who do you feel like this, you might call it a righteous anger towards? To justify your feeling that way. Right? You might feel a righteous anger towards church people. You might feel a righteous anger towards what? Fill in the blank. Father figures. You might feel a righteous anger towards leadership. You might feel a righteous anger towards bosses because they're unjust. They're not treating people right. That's a judgment. So wherever you have a judgment, there's a wound. So after this dream of me feeling this confident, I feel like that's how God wants me to feel. Right? I feel like He wants me to feel this confident all the time. And I started looking at areas. Now, I don't know where this came from. I know it's not my mom. But I have this judgment towards women who control, either aggressive control or manipulation, like a poor me type control. Right? And I have this thing. Now, I love people, but I've lately it's kind of creeping up on me. I'm like, what does this come from? I need to love these people, Father. So I don't want this. Whatever this, why do I feel this? I can't stand that kind of thing. Where's that coming from? So God's been removing that, and I feel like that's on purpose, because He wants our stuff to hit the fan so that it can be exposed. Okay? And I'm giving God permission, so I'm looking at every area I have a judgment in my life, and I'm letting Him surface the hurts. Now, I don't know the hurts in some of these areas, but I know that all this stuff is happening. The last thing that's been happening is for 4 days, I can't stand up straight. My back is just absolutely sciatic nerve pain. So yesterday, my treasure hunt goal was to find people with back pain. I'm like, I'm going to stick it to the enemy. If he's got me hurting, I'm just going to pray for everybody I can find with a back pain just to annoy the snot out of him. But I feel like it's the same thing. I feel like it's coming against me trying to stand up confidently. So in your life, and I've heard this from multiple women, they're feeling isolated and alone. They feel like their friends don't want to be around them. And it's so far from the truth, it's not even funny. But they're all feeling this. So there's something that's trying to attack this way of us being accepted, of us being who we're supposed to be. So I'm going to talk to you about confidence just real quick, and then we're going to end it. Confidence is getting what you need from your Father God, not from man. So the first time I got tested in this, I had to, my dad is a phenomenal man. He's given this church to me, and he's let go, and that has to hurt. Mom, I know it hurts too sometimes. Because I'm changing everything they built. I'm not changing it, I'm just twisting it, as they would call it. Yeah, twisting. Putting a little twist on it, so they're okay with it. But some things I changed is something that they came up with. That was their idea. So it's got to hurt, but they're letting go beautifully. Now, there was one point where we had a meeting, and I was thinking something's going to be different. And I got challenged that, well, this you've got to be careful because of this. And I said, no, it's going to be different. And I was really proud of my response. I'm like, okay, my dad's a pretty strong guy. He's got some pretty good opinions, and he's got the anointing. He's got what it takes. So I have to be confident even around my father. My confidence can't come from him. And I thought I was doing a pretty good job. And at that moment, I was depressed for like a week. I'm going, what is going on? I just did good. I'm like, what's wrong with me? What I realized was a lot of my confidence was based on if he had confidence in me or not. I was like, ooh, ouch. I thought I was doing okay here. So and I'm sure my dad probably saw all that happening already, like knowing the way he is. So maybe he even did that on purpose to help that. I always wondered if some things when he said son, I can't say all the details, but he used to catch me doing things I shouldn't be doing, and he would call me on it. I'm wondering if he actually saw me or if he just saw it in the spirit. Like, I never knew with my dad. It's like, it's not fair being married to a prophetic man. It stinks. All right, married, mom said that, and not be fair being a son. That was weird. Twisted. It's not fair being a son to a prophetic man and a married to a prophetic man being my mom. Okay, there we go. All right. Okay. Keep going. All right, so confidence is getting what you need from Father God, not from man. Second thing I want to say is it's not wrong to need. It's wrong to get your needs met from a man or a woman. Because our needs is kind of the place where the iniquity. Iniquity is not a sin. Iniquity is a bent propensity to do something a certain way. So if your father and mother did something a certain way, you're going to have maybe an iniquity. You might have inherited it. If you have anger problems, your parents had anger problems, you might have inherited an iniquity to get angry. Doesn't mean that's a sin. It just means it's a bent propensity. The devil's going to try to bait you in that area to get you to be angry because it was an easy spot before. To beat that, you just got to live as if you're not in that. So poverty is one of those things for my parents. It's been something they've been battling, and they've beaten it. So I got to grab onto the fact that they're beating it, even if I can't see the fruit of it in their own life yet. The fruit is how they live, not what they have. That's actually pretty good. The fruit is how you live, not what you have. That's good. I like that. Okay. So false confidence is based on what you or others think of yourself. False confidence is based on what you or others think of yourself. So even if you think of yourself, I'm good. That's false confidence. True confidence is based on what your Father in heaven thinks of you. Now, you won't find this in any dictionary anywhere, because they're going to contradict that. But this is what I feel like we're coming into. They're coming into a season where we have to have true confidence, which is, I know I am who He says I am, and I'm going there because He said to. Yeah? So that's what we need to live our lives this time. And it doesn't matter if you got stuck in this area before. You can go forward because He said you can go forward. Because He said you have what it takes. So that's the area I want to bring our lives. So in this dream that I have, I believe with all my heart that feeling that I felt in the dream was supposed to be me. So I'm calling that into reality even right now. I mean, most of you guys probably don't think I'm not confident, but sometimes I fight with being confident. And I probably especially being the son of my dad, who is very confident. And so it can be a challenge to be confident around people who are really, really confident. Most of my friends don't have issues with being confident. So I am good. I've surrounded myself with the right people. So I just wanted to open the door for you to recognize where some areas you might be stuck. So maybe it's belonging. I've heard that one before lately. Do you feel like you belong? Do you feel like you have a friendship or you're a friend worth having? There's all kinds of things that we could do out there that change that. But I believe with all my heart that God wants to show you. I'm hearing dreams like crazy lately. People are having dreams all over the place. If you have dreams, be open to see that might be God trying to talk to you. And I don't have a problem with you hearing God from your dreams at all. God speaks through dreams. So God wants to show you who you really are. That's why we love prophetic words so much. Because God likes to speak to people what He's seeing of them. And I wonder if God wants to speak to anybody today. Come on, God. Yeah, it's a good day for it. God wants to talk to you. You agree? Father, we just thank You for Your presence here today. We thank You, God, that You're restoring even the foundation of the body of Christ. You're restoring that. You're creating a reputation that You want. And God, we want to come in alignment with that reputation that You want. We want, when people say there's a Christian, they mean there's someone who looks exactly like Christ. Father, help us to become like You want us to be. Come on.